Hello, my name is Reggie Quezon. I am 47 years old. Today is Saturday, July 30th, 2022. I'm at the StoryCorps Atlanta location, and I will be speaking with, communicating with my dear friend and mentee, Dequarius Q. Green, today.
Good afternoon. My name is Dequarius Q. Green, as Mr. Reggie Quezon said. I'm 26 years old. Today's date is July 30th, 2022. The location that we are in is in StoryCorps, Atlanta. The person who will be interviewing me today is, again, Reggie Quezon. And he is my mentor, and I am his mentee.
Q, how long ago did we meet?
We met in 2016.
2016.
2016. Yeah, that's when we met, 2016, for sure.
Wow. And since 2016, wow, we're in 2022. I can't believe
it. I know, right? Yeah, about 6 years, yeah.
So 6 years ago. You have an amazing story. And the first time that I met you, I was awe-inspired and just wanted you to tell your story to the world. And at that time, I know the event that happened in your life was not that long ago at that time. And but I can just feel your pain. I can feel what you needed to do for yourself in order to get over that pain. And I said at that time, I want to do so much more for this young man. But let's go back there. Let's start back in 2016 and how we met and what were you doing?
2016, so first off, I was working, got my first job with Zaxby's at the time. I was trying to get a new job. I was trying to get another job at Polo at the time, and I was in my second year at Georgia State University, I didn't know what I wanted to do at the time. I was just taking the core classes. I was just there, but I was also, at that time in my life, I began to take the craft of speaking more serious. Because as a backup information, backup to my story, is on May 7, 2014, 2 years prior, my life changed just by one decision. All right, so I was in a car accident, May 7, 2014. I woke up, and on this special day when I woke up, Mr. Quezon, my life that I had planned for was only 2 weeks away because I had planned on going to the military. The day before, May 6th, took my ASVAB, passed. All right, so now all I got to do is finish these next 2 weeks up in high school. And Army strong, here I come. And on May 7th, all that changed because I made a decision to take my parents' car that day without their permission. And like I said, I don't remember too much about the day. I just remember getting to the school and memory goes blank. But what my friends tell me, it was one of the best days of our senior year, and by the end of the day, it was the worst day of our senior year.
Let's pause right there. You were in this accident, had a bright future, you were about to graduate from high school, and you get into this accident. You said it was the best day at first, but then it turned into being one of the worst days of your life. Why?
We were closing out of school, and according to my friends, we were dancing in the parking lot, having a good time. Principals and teachers rushed out. We all jumped in our cars and took off. But two of my friends got in the car with me. One of my best friend, Jasmine. Another good friend of mine, her name is Shanti. And before we left, we didn't put on our seatbelts. Right, putting on your seatbelt takes about 7 seconds. On average, something that I used to do, whether my parents knew I had the car, they didn't. I would always put that on. That has never been a problem. That day, though, didn't put it on. And that was a fatal mistake, a big mistake, because later on down the road, we were speeding. I lost control of the vehicle. Back tire spun out. The car started to flip. As the car is flipping, all three of us are getting ejected out the car. So when I landed, I broke my neck, knocked unconscious immediately. Shanti landed, surgical injuries to her back, knocked unconscious immediately. And unfortunately, for my best friend, Jasmine. When she landed, she hit her head on the pavement. And she eventually bled out and took her last breath.
Wow. I can still hear the pain in your voice as you tell this story. And even though it happened 8 years ago now, I can still tell that it bothers you. But let's talk a little bit more about what happened. Talk about a little bit of what happened after the accident. And we're going to get to Jasmine and Ashanti in a moment. But talk about a little bit more about what happened after the accident.
So me and Ashanti were flown to Great Moore Hospital. Next day, I had to have a 6-hour-long surgery at Great Moore Hospital. And in that surgery, they put 4 screws in the back of my neck to replace the broken bone. And after the 6-hour-long surgery, my mom and dad got the worst news of their life. They said, your son, he has 1% chance of living. 1% chance, and if he does live, he'll never walk again.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing to get this type of news from your son. Specifically when you were going to be graduating, you were about to go into the military, the Army specifically, but to get the news that your child, who's so successful, has a 1% chance of living and a 1% chance of walking. How did you get here today?
I drove.
You drove?
2012 Hyundai Elantra.
In the 2012 Hyundai Elantra that you bought yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yes, sir.
Absolutely. So if you drove, that means you're walking now, right?
For sure. Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's go a little bit further back into your story. Can you tell the audience exactly what happened after you left Grady?
I got transferred to the Shepherd Center, which is a special rehabilitation center for spinal cord injuries and brain injuries. One of the best rehab centers there is in the United States, in the country, honestly. And so, and the thing about it, the day I got transferred from Grady to the Shepherd Center was the day I was supposed to be graduating high school, May 23rd, 2014. So I'm in the Shepherd Center. First week goes by. Don't remember too much. Still, like, on a lot of medicine, don't remember too much, but family and friends come in the room. NBA playoffs is on. Love basketball, Ms. Kayson. I still do. Game goes on commercial break. My dad asked me a question, Q, what you miss the most? And you see, when he asked me that, he was asking me to see a reality hit. And it didn't quite hit. Because at the time, before breaking my neck, I never broke a bone in my body. Invincible. Sprained something, but never broke a bone. And I didn't know how severe breaking your neck was. So at the time in my head when he asked me that question, I missed basketball. My reality was I'll be out for a couple months, but I'll be back on my feet in a little while. But I didn't understand the severe of the injury. And that next week in the Shepherd Center, reality hit me every single day. Because at the time, I could only move my head 2 inches to the left, 2 inches to the right. That's about it in my eyes. And so I started to ask myself, man, will I ever move again? Will I be able to get myself out of bed again? Will I be able to brush my teeth again? Get dressed? Will I be able to do the smallest things ever, tie my shoes ever again? Questions I never thought that I asked myself. I was asking myself those questions on a daily basis. And so when my dad came to my room that second weekend, me and him again, sitting in a motorized chair, NBA playoffs next round, he asked me that same question. Q, what you miss the most? Looked up at him, I said, Dad, believe it or not, I just miss getting up out of bed.
Wow, powerful. And once again, just going through this journey with you, you can just empathize your pain and what you had to go through. Let's talk a little bit about what happened legally. This isn't the part of your story that I particularly like. However, it's important to tell this part of the story.
So later on that year in 2014, on December 21st, got a knock at the door. And at the time, I was playing a video game, had in my headphones, so I didn't hear the door. My mom was there. It was the police. Police had told my mom, "You got to turn your son in by the end of the night. It's a warrant out for his arrest. He's being charged with first-degree vehicular homicide." Never been to jail a day in my life. And 4 days before Christmas, my mom and dad have to turn me in. And that was the most scariest moment of my life, being in jail. Knowing that I could be facing up to 20 years of prison time for one decision that I don't even remember. All right, wasn't drinking, wasn't smoking, nothing. Purely off a decision of a high school teenager just trying to have fun. And I was in jail for about 2 weeks, December 21st to January 7th. When it's actually funny, when they called my name to bail out, I called my mom, like, "Mom, somebody here to come pick me up," because she didn't tell me it was a surprise. So she was like, "Yeah, I know, it's your dad." And I just left everything in my room, man. I got my cane and everything, got dressed, and that was one of the biggest hugs I've ever gave my dad. Next couple of days after that, I had to go to an arraignment to determine my next following court date. My other court date was April 18th, 2015. So within that span of time, it was a kid at my school, my old high school, he had gotten into an accident. And it hadn't even been a year since my accident, but he got in one. And my principal told me, "It's time for you to tell your story." Miss Nicole Shaw at Dutchtown High School. And many people was telling me, "Man, you know, you need to tell your story," but I just wanted to get back to the old Q. Don't want to speak about this. Don't want to do nothing. I just want to get back to my old regular life. That was the goal. And I was like, "Okay, I guess I'll do it," you know. Went back to the school. It was very raw. Because every kid who was at that school, who was in that gymnasium, was there the day the accident happened. So it was still fresh. I remember speaking. I remember looking into that crowd as tears are coming down my eyes. It's like no other, right? It's not. It was ugly. Everybody's in the crowd crying. And that was my first time speaking, and that was the most rawest emotional time ever, because I had to look at the students who I went to school with.
Wow. 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 Let's talk about, and I physically see your emotions right now. Let's talk about the emotional period that you had from the time you got into the accident, going through the Shepherd Center, going through being in prison for that short period of time, and then we're going to bring it up a little bit, but let's just talk about how you actually felt during that time period.
A lot of suicidal thoughts. A lot of survivor's guilt thoughts. Asking God, "Why me? Why did you make me survive to suffer?" Right? Best friend Jasmine was only 16 for a month and a day. Right? "Why didn't you take my life?" She was only 16. Right? Jasmine's mom, Miss Alexis. Remember my first time talking to her, and I was just saying, "I'm sorry." And she wasn't bashing at me, but she let me know how she felt. And I took that emotion on and my emotion, and it was a big mess of emotions. And I remember that day, I just wanted it to end. Because I thought that that was the only way to bring balance to the earth. Is she lost a daughter, partially because of my responsibility. I gotta go so my parents can do the sun, so she, maybe she won't feel that bad.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that part, and I know it still hurts and it still bothers you. And we are here to support you, and we support you 100% of the way. And I know that that pain, that survivor's guilt is always going to be there. But you're a phenomenal young man. And when you share your story, you are touching many other lives, and I want you to know that. I want you to know that you have people in your corner that love you, that support you, that are going to be here for you, that are going to help you throughout this whole entire process. We know it's been many years now. However, you're doing the right thing. I'm very proud of you. Your parents are proud of you. And you just have such a bright future. And I just wanted to let you know that at this point. I want to segue into, you talk about one decision. And you talk about one decision away. Let's tell this part of your story. What is one decision away, and why did you create it?
Crazy, oddly, that was one of my dad's favorite sayings of growing up. Q, you one decision away. Because I was always out with friends in high school. He would always tell me, Q, you one decision away. Have fun, but don't forget you one decision away. And so I can remember having a dream in the beginning of 2016 before we met. And I was speaking in front of thousands. And I woke up that next morning and said, this is what I got to do. But I had to start thinking of a name that I wanted my ministry to be centered around. And I thought of no better way than one decision away. And so I did that because I believe in life with one decision away for my greatest outcome. Our biggest downfall. And even little decisions that we make in life, it can go from this pathway to another pathway. And so that's why I did one decision away, because everybody in life is one decision away.
Wow. I want you to talk a little bit more about what you do with One Decision Away in your ministry, which is phenomenal, by the way. But I have two questions even before we go into that. The first question is this. What gives you hope?
What gives me hope? My best friend, my family, people in my circle like you, my friends. They give me hope. Because they believed in me when I didn't see nothing in myself. When I looked in the mirror, I hated looking in the mirror at one point because I was so disgusted. But family, friends, mentors, they had hope in me. So that's my hope. When I'm speaking in the crowd, that's my hope. When I see kids' faces when they DM me on Instagram or talk to me after I speak and let them know how I've helped them, that gives me hope to knowing that I turned maybe one of the worst days of my life into a bigger impact, into a bigger outcome.
Which brings me to my follow-up question is, what is the impact? What is the legacy that you want to leave on society, period?
Yeah. So the legacy is bigger than it's bigger than me. But a legacy always starts somewhere. And it started before me. It was my granddad. My dad's dad, and he had all boys. My dad and my uncle had all boys. And our last name's Green with an E. And we say that E stands for excellence. Extraordinary, right? It sets us apart. And he's always instilled in every one of us that we work hard. No matter what we're doing, we work hard. We give it all we got. So that's one of the legacies I want to live is, if you know me, you knew I work hard. And whoever I want to around, I want to be inspired to work hard, whatever they want to do. But I also want to make sure my best friend Jasmine's Michaela Poole legacy lives on longer than my legacy.
Excellent. And we know that that is something that is near and dear to your heart, that her legacy continues as well. And you've done something about it. It's definitely not bringing her back. However, you have implemented a scholarship in her name under One Decision Away. Can you speak a little bit more about the legacy that you're leaving?
The scholarship, so how it started was my favorite inspirational speaker, Inky Johnson, who's from Atlanta, Georgia. I was listening to one of his speeches one night about 5 years ago. And he said a quote. He said, "We're born to honor our parents, but we live to leave a legacy for the ones after us." And when he said that, I asked myself, man, what legacy can Jasmine have? Because when I go around, I speak, it's first to honor God, second to honor Jasmine, third to make sure the audience gets the message. It's never about me. All right, and so I created out a scholarship fund that can continue out of her name. So her name lives on, and what the scholarship does, it goes to the cheerleader with the highest GPA at my old high school. Because Jasmine was a cheerleader. She loved helping people, right? She had a great spirit, funny spirit. And I decided to start the scholarship up, and how I did that was every time after I speak, I sell black wristbands with One Decision Away written on the outside. And on the inside, it has JP, which stands for Jasmine Poole. And I sell those every time I speak for $3. So the first year was $500. Second year was $1,000. Third was $1,500. Fourth year was $2,000. This past 5 years, it was $2,000 as well. And so my job, my goal is to make sure that scholarship just continues to grow in her name, so her name can live on, so she's never forgotten.
Hugh, that is so commendable, and it's excellent. And you're using your gift and the power that you have to make an impact and make a difference. And it really is making a difference. So thank you for that, period. Let's talk about Q a little bit. I know that after the accident, 1% chance living, 1% chance walking. I asked you earlier, how did you get here today? You said you drove. But let's talk a little bit more about what happened. How were you able to overcome not only just being able to live, but being able to walk again? Can you take us through that?
Shepherd Center, give credit to a lot of them for allowing God for them to be in my life. Because it's an amazing facility. The people, the therapy in there is amazing. And that's a big help right there. But also my faith in God, my circle, my support system wouldn't allow me to give up. And if I did quit, would have regretted it forever. Knowing that it's a chance, maybe I could have been here. Maybe I could have been there. But if I would have quit, those are all the questions I would ask. But if I kept going, you live with no regrets. And that's the goal. Everybody asks me, what's your biggest fear, Q? It's not dying. It's dying with regrets. Because when I close my eyes, that last time is the case, huh? I want to make sure I did everything possible that I wanted to do, or at least tried. Who cares if the answer is no? All right, that's even maybe asking out a beautiful girl. She says no, whatever. I ain't got to think about
that's
it.
That's right.
So it's just anything. Pursuing anything that I can that I could think help me grow. Don't want to have no regrets. So that's...
That is definitely one of the things that inspires me about you. You know, when I wake up, I say my prayers every day and, you know, just thank God for the activities of my limbs and being able to breathe air. Exactly. But now, then it goes to thinking about you. You live life to the fullest. You live as if there's no tomorrow. And it's so inspiring that you do that. And I'm just like, how dare I not be able to continue on the path of what I'm supposed to be doing in my purpose. We have the likes of Q, who just is this amazing young man who went through such a tumultuous time, but now is living his life, and he's living it on purpose. And I just appreciate that. And I'm going to tell you this story real quick, Q. And I don't think I've told you this yet, but, you know, my sons, Jalen and Justin, they just love you, man. And every time we get a chance to hear you speak, they always ask questions, and they're inspired by you as well. I think I told you my 20-year-old son just got a job. He got a job at one of the luxury car dealers, and he's a driver. He's driving these $1 million Lamborghinis and Bentleys and things like that. He's only 20 years old. However, this is the story that came forth from his interview. He was working at Chick-fil-A as a driver for Chick-fil-A. And he's been a car enthusiast since he was the age of two. So he'd been trying. He said, you know what, I'm going to apply for this luxury car dealer. They called him. They said, because you have been such a good driver, you have worked at Chick-fil-A as a driver, we want to bring you on board. Then he said, I'm 20. They said, well, typically our insurance can only cover you if you're 21. But they looked at his driver record, and they said, it's flawless. They said, you haven't been in any accidents, you don't have any points on your license, anything. Let's see what they say. So long story short, they ran his driver record, made sure that everything was fine, and their insurance was able to cover him. And it's all of those years that Jalen heard your story about being safe and driving safely. He takes heed to that, and he tells me that all the time. Justin is 15. He just asked me, hey, I'm ready to drive. So I'm teaching them how to drive. So the first thing we always do, put on your license, check your safety features. Don't be a reckless driver, et cetera. But all of that is a testament to who you are and the impact and influence. So just understand that the people around you that you tell your story to are impacted as well. And I just want you to know and understand that. Let's get into Q, the person. You have an amazing personality as well. You are a jokester. Of course, you love basketball. But let's just talk about some of the fun things that you do in life now and what you enjoy doing.
So I tell people all the time I'm simple, man. So one of the most fun things I do outside of speaking is going to the movies. Love the movies. Binge watch TV all the time, TV shows. If I ever was to ever go back to school, it would be for film. I'm in love with that, but I like playing video games, love Xbox, and trying new places to eat. Those are my top three things that I just love doing, honestly, man. And so that's what I like doing for a person. And I'm in college, in graduate school, my last year in graduate school at Georgia State University, best school in Georgia, best college in Georgia, in my opinion. And that's what I do on just on a downside base. And I just love inspiring people even when I'm not speaking. When people see me time after time, get up every single day, keep going to help people. That's what I like doing. It's inspiring people.
Awesome. And you do an excellent job at that. I can remember when you first started to where you are now, night and day. But, you know, you definitely you have perfected your craft in speaking. And, you know, you're a phenomenal speaker. And it really is just coming from your heart. And that's what I've always told you. Hey, listen, just speak from your heart. Everything else is going to come right into play. No matter how the audience reacts, somebody is in that audience is listening, even if you only are reaching one person. You are impacting at least one person in that audience. So just continue to do that. Let's talk about school a little bit and then work. I know you had planned to go into the military, into the Army, and you had not even thought about going back to school. What changed? What changed your mind? Obviously, from, you know, the accident and everything, but you went to college, graduated college, and undergrad, and then on to grad school. What changed?
I just realized education can be used as a platform. And so college can. You can make connections. I've made great connections at Georgia State.
Great.
Been the manager of the basketball team my last year in undergrad. Connected with the sports facility. Just teachers, either way, people knowing each other, finding out about my story, right? You got a chance to meet the new president of the school at Georgia State University. He knows my story. So I just use school as a platform for me to get into rooms, right? You say you got a bachelor's, say you got a master's, that can get you in a couple of rooms that your talent can't get you, right? Everybody's not going to hear me speak, right? And I can't speak just at the drop of a dime. I need to have something behind me that can get me in the room. And once that get me in the room, then my work ethic, my story, it'll keep me in a room to keep me in that room to unlock that next door for that room. But also not just for myself, for other people who as well. Because I believe in life, we all have a purpose, but as we're walking in that purpose, we have to ensure that others find theirs as well. Because it's bigger than us.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. We have a few more minutes left, and you know, I just want to spend this few more minutes with you. One of the questions that I have for you, we were in Atlanta. Atlanta traffic is horrific, but you still drive. You still go each day. How are you able to get behind the wheel and still be able to drive and get to your destinations without fear?
I hate relying on people. Simple as that. I hate relying on people, man. That's what it was. I was getting to that point where I would ask Rod, so I would give them gas money. Besides my parents, I would give them my friends gas money or something and then still have to pay to go do whatever I'm going to do. And I was just like, man, I got to get me a car. And so that's what got me. But I still drive safe now because I know at any moment, right, something could happen. Whether it's not to me or somebody else, a driver, be a defensive driver. That's the best way to drive. And so I just take my time and I just get to where I need to go, honestly, and I just pray that, you know, everything will be okay and I make it back home in the morning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're an excellent driver. I will tell you this. You have on your cell phone where it says, hey, I'm driving. Yeah. So you get an automatic message. And I say, okay, Q is driving. Let me leave him alone. So, no, I really appreciate that when you do that. Now, you're definitely a motivational speaker, inspirational speaker. Where are some of the places that you speak and to whom, and what is kind of the audience reaction when you speak to them?
So I speak at high schools, colleges, different driving programs for different counties, counties in Georgia. Speak at churches. I love speaking at churches because that's when I can be my most authentic self. No political approach. You can't say this. You can't say that. You can just speak, right? And so I love speaking at churches. And the audience is so funny because when I walk up there, kids' reactions, people reactions, it's like, okay, what are you about to say? All right, because I used to be ashamed of having a disability. I did, right? And so I used to hate going out. I used to hate how people looked at me. But now I embrace it because that grabs their attention, right? Instead of somebody else walking up there normal, yeah, I walk slow pace, grab your attention. So you're automatically locked into it. You're automatically keyed. Okay, what are you about to say? All right, so it gets them automatically. And so, and I say this, like with COVID, you know, people had masks when people weren't masks. You had to really get up close to see somebody. Oh, what's up? How you doing? All right, man. But because I walk so different, if people saw me from afar, they know that's me. And so it's just different things like that. But the crowd reactions is always good. My favorite is when I'm at a high school or college or something and the kids is talking, maybe when I start, but at the end it's silence. But at the end it's silence. Those are my favorite. But just reactions with kids, like I said in the beginning, when kids walk up to me or people walk up to me, even adults, to say, man, you helped me. I'll never forget you. I'll never forget Jasmine. They buy that bracelet. And they'll be like, yo, man, you got some more bracelets? I need some more. And so that's what keeps me going. Like on my down days, I'll go through my old Instagram messages and just go look at what people have said to me to know. Keep going. More people need to hear this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's excellent. And each time I see you, I always get something different from the speech from you. And it's crazy. And I want you to take them through the activity. I know one of the activities that you do is about tying your shoe. Talk about that really quickly.
So I've gotten better at tying my shoe. It still takes a little difficulty. So in the beginning process, I couldn't tie my shoe for nothing. Like, I just would ask people all the time. Now I can do it a little bit. Or I get somebody to double knot it so it doesn't come untied. So tying my shoe now it's been a task, but I can do it. And I'm just happy I could do it because there was times where I couldn't. So even if it takes me 5 minutes to tie my shoe, I'm happy because I could tie my own shoe.
Awesome. And that just shows your independence and what you want to do. And, you walk everywhere. You drive yourself everywhere. You work. At one point in time, I know you were at a fast food restaurant. They said you were their best employee just because of the way that you do that. So with the final thoughts here, what do you want to say to everybody who is out there listening to this podcast right now?
You're one decision away from your biggest outcome or your greatest downfall. So be mindful of the decisions that you make because every decision has a consequence, good or bad. All right, and just appreciate life every single day you open your eyes because we only have so many tomorrows. So whatever you want to do, do it now. And as my granddad would say, go for it.
Wow, powerful Q. Thank you, man. I love you, man. And, I know it's much more to come, but you're just a beautiful human being. And it's just quite apparent that you have a purpose. You have a purpose in this life. And I really appreciate what you're doing. You have my support. You have many people's support around you. And, for whatever you need, just let me know. And but I love you, man. And thank you for sitting down and having this conversation with me today.
No, man, thank you for, getting out the information. From the first day you told me I'm going to help you get your story out there, you've always kept your word and never asked me for nothing but just to keep striving on. So I want to just say thank you and love you for always having my story. And I also just want to say thank Story Corpse for having us here so I can get a chance to tell my story as well to a much bigger audience.